With the ACAA, what's been the standout moment over the last 20 years?
So it is going to be the 20th anniversary of my family migrating to the UK. And I think it's just, it's a really big milestone for us to see the organization, the Afghanistan and Central Asian Association, move to a bigger center, to a community center within Hounslow, which can cater for refugees, asylum seekers, and members of the local community through a hub. I think that's an amazing milestone. And now when we look back on all the previous spaces we've rented, the previous offices we've had, but now to have a bigger facility will enable us to reach more people.
So why have you chosen Felton?
So West London hosts the largest Afghan community. We as an organisation have always focused on the people of Afghanistan as our main target audience. Of course, over time, that expanded. So we started to then include people from Central Asia and now South Asia. And actually, statistics suggest that West London is home to the largest Afghan community, not only in London, but across the UK. So that's one of the main reasons we've moved over to Hounslow and to Feltham in particular. Because when we had offices across London, people were actually travelling from these areas to reach us. So it makes sense for us to be amongst the community. So it's easier for them to connect and so that they can be more involved in our services. All families and refugees and asylum seekers that use our services have been involved in more than one service. We provide a holistic package of support. So we not only support children, but we support parents. We support the entire family. I mean, just last week, we launched an over 50s club where people from the community, as long as our target beneficiaries, can come together and feel at home.
So what else do you do to promote integration and British values?
As an organisation, our main focus is in supporting the integration of refugees and asylum seekers, with a specific focus on people from Afghanistan and the neighbouring region. And we do so through education, we do so through information and advice, as well as events and social gatherings. Now, education as a strand includes support for children and young people. It includes English language support for adults and also school related support. So we have an after school club where people come in for help with their homework and to ensure that they are on track with the curriculum. Our support specifically for women is also very important, because many people who have fled the Taliban or have come through a regime which has really affected their confidence. It's affected the way they see themselves, but also there has been pressure on them to be in specific gendered spaces. So having women-only support has enabled us to target those very vulnerable and individuals and people who need that type of support, so that we can ensure that our support is reaching as many people from different types of backgrounds and situations. Information and support is an area that is very popular. People come into the office with help to apply for housing benefits. We've had people come in who need support in filling in applications. I mean, just last week, we supported a young refugee lady in accessing work. So the information and support drop-ins take place on a daily basis. People could just walk in, no real appointments required, and there's someone to greet them and to provide them with support. And lastly, all of this is tied together with our events and with celebrations, where we not only celebrate things like Eid, which is a religious Muslim celebration, but also New Year and the start of spring. So the point of these celebrations is to provide all our beneficiaries a space where they can put all the kind of educational and all the other aspects to aside, but celebrate the fact that they're in Britain and that they're in a community which is acceptive of them, that where it's inclusive and diverse. And these events are also bring together members of the local community and people from different backgrounds, not just limited to our target beneficiaries. And that really helps them in understanding the importance of integration, and to show that integration doesn't necessarily cannot necessarily happen alone. It has to be amongst the community.
So about the Taliban themselves, is there anything about them that we don't understand in the West?
I came to the UK at the age of 5. I didn't live through the Taliban regime, and it is the reason that myself and my family are here today. I understand that the reason my family fled the Taliban was because I wouldn't be given the opportunities to study, to work, simply because I'm a woman, or I'm a female. And that is just one aspect of how they perceive society. If I was to situate myself in that regime, I think, you know, I would never have achieved what I have achieved today in the UK. And of course, there is no room for comparison. There have been like nail varnish wasn't allowed for women. Women weren't allowed to wear high heels. Religious education was particularly focused on like as a very important aspect of education, and less so for other subjects. There is a film actually called The Breadwinner, and that's been directed by Angelina Jolie. And that's an excellent way to depict the regime through the lens of one particular family. And it is really devastating to see how they treated disabled people, and just how hard it was for a family to make their life in Afghanistan. Within families where there was no male family member who could act as like a chaperone for females, there were girls that were dressing as boys, that were cutting their hair just for the freedom of going outside and supporting their family. And that just shows how backward this regime was, and how their continued presence in Afghanistan to some extent causes extreme fear. There has been talks on reconciliation and having the Taliban on board. And of course, we understand that there should be a solution, and somehow we need to figure out how we could negotiate, or how we could understand, you know, how they could at least get to a table and speak about what it is they want and what the government want to achieve. But it has been very frightening for the women of Afghanistan in particular. And as a female myself, I understand how limiting their presence could be if they were to gain any more control. So I think it's very important that we have women at the heart of these conversations, as they were the group that was mostly affected.
So you're talking about how the Taliban creates this culture of oppression, but how was it growing up in England as a refugee?
I felt like I could fit in quite easily. I know, of course, I can only speak for myself, but myself and my family didn't find it very challenging in terms of our neighbors or the people that we could go out to ask for support. Of course, there are things like not being able to speak English and therefore being isolated and depressed, and all the other kind of issues that come out of not being able to communicate with others within the community. So I think coming as a refugee brings certain challenges with you. For example, if you had lived through the Taliban regime and you're coming to the UK and it's a completely different environment, it will definitely take time for you to adjust yourself and for you to understand what it means to be amongst people that have different faith groups, that have different ways of living. Now, for my family, my parents found it most challenging. They weren't able to pick up English as quickly as me and my siblings did. And over time, they did manage to kind of find their way. But for most of the time, both myself and others in the family were translators and mediators. Now, in terms of my school education and work, I've always felt like I'm part of this society and I can make a contribution. And I think it's important that refugees feel this way, because you have been hosted into this society and you have been given for some citizenship, and you know, you're now British, but you know, it's important to also be thankful and to want to give back and to show appreciation to a society that has appreciated our presence as well.
So what can we all do to help migrants?
Well, migrants have multiple challenges, some of which we've already discussed. And I think when thinking about helping migrants, it's important to think how integration is reciprocal. You know, we can put all the hard work on refugees to integrate and to become British and to understand the way the society works. But it's important that the host community, people that that are from the UK and weren't necessarily refugees, for them to understand the challenges. And once you understand and you appreciate the lengths people go to be here and to seek refuge, then there is more mutual understanding. And that understanding will help challenge stereotypes. It will help our communities understand, you know, what the real stories were behind these refugees. They do look like us, and you know, they do try and live a normal lifestyle here in the UK, but you know, there is elements of their life which have been traumatizing, which have led to members of their family being killed, and that will always in some ways remain, and beyond the first generation it could also go on to second and third generation. So I think this mutual understanding and cooperation will really enable them to feel like they're part of a cohesive community, which will give them the trust and the confidence to be able to achieve success as well. So I think my key message would be mutual tolerance and mutual understanding, so that all communities feel that they can call the UK or Britain their home.
And what needs to change at a government level to better help migrants?
I think ensuring we have a grassroots understanding is very important, not only for this government, but governments worldwide, to understand how charities or how organisations that deal with refugees understand their problems. Because when we look at it from a macro level, when we think of policies and strategies that need to be made to support this particular group, it's important that we then look at, you know, individual cases. And individual cases are very important in shaping how we want to support refugees. I think sometimes there can be limited connection between, you know, strategy writing and the reality for migrants. And sometimes those lost voices can mean a lot. So I think it's important that governments work in partnership with local groups, work together with charities and NGOs to really understand what is happening on the ground. I mean, within this organization, the ACA, we have people come in on a daily basis for different types of support. And what would be excellent is if we could feed back the types of support that we've been providing, why they've found it challenging to find it elsewhere, and how we can then share this knowledge to a larger scale, so that there's other ways of tackling the problem. Of course, charities will do what they can, but are we going to be able to support all refugees and migrants across the country through policy change and understanding their challenges better?
Excellent. Well, thank you very much for talking to me.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.